chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 7, but let's do our Bible affirmation. To our guests, we thank God for each and every one of you that are here today. Thank God for you. To those who call this place home, welcome, welcome back. Amen. Let's do our affirmation. Ready? Read. This is my Bible. It is the infallible, incorruptible, unstoppable, immutable word of God. It holds my peace, my victory, my breakthrough. This is my spiritual roadmap. This is my Bible. You believe that? Give God a shout. Amen. Let's look at this text. Let's look at the text. We're going to begin with verse 1, chapter 6, chapter 3 of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives." Means wives, you can save your husbands. Amen. "When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear or reverence, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel." Don't just take care of your outside. "Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." Amen. Ooh, that's a whole lot of commentary right there. We know you independent, making money. We know all of that. Amen. Let it be seen, not heard. Amen. "For in this manner, in former times, the holy woman who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands." Now, just we'll balance that. We're going to talk, but submissive does not mean a slave. Uh-huh. Amen. "As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror." Uh-huh. Verse 7, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife, giving honor to the wife, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace," heirs together "of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." Yeah, yeah. I mean, brother, you wonder why your prayers not being answered? How you treat your wife.
We got any nickels in here?
Amen. You wonder why God's not answering your prayer? Amen.
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 Father, we thank you.
Thank you, God.
We thank you. Mm-hmm. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Let's go to work. Amen. Amen.
Now, how many know relationships do take work?
Relationships,
they take
absolutely.
Work. Absolutely. And this is why, you know, as we go throughout this series, you see the toolbox here. We'll be pulling some tools out of the arsenal to share with everybody. And we got our work clothes on, because sometimes you gotta make it do what it do in your relationships. And, you know, talk things through. And we're going to share some nuggets today that we believe will help you, whether you are preparing for marriage, if you are in marriage. We even talked this morning about, you know, relationships, you know, and communicating with our children, with our family members and things like that. There are some key spiritual principles that I believe we can apply in our lives.
So we're talking about something that may not be the first topic or the first thing you go to when you think about relationships. We want to look at identifying and developing emotional intimacy. Emotional intimacy. When you hear the word intimacy, what typically comes to mind is a candlelight dinner, a bouquet of roses, little Teddy P playing on MP3, a box of imported chocolates, and I'll let you finish the rest. When we think about intimacy, We think about all the different components and the stuff that we have to do and buy and set up. But the word literally means into me see. Intimacy. Into me see. It's a revelation of your partner. That's what intimacy is. And there are different levels of intimacy. You have physical intimacy. You have relational intimacy. You have emotional, which we're talking about emotional intimacy. There are different levels of intimacy because there are different facets of who you are. And the more open we are to those different areas with our spouse or significant other, the stronger our bond is. The stronger our bond is. And I'm convinced that a lot of what we see today as marriage, it looks good on the surface, but because we've not purposed to strengthen those bonds, we break at the first sign of trouble. We break at the first sign of trouble. I'm going to give more about this, but there was an analogy I was listening this week. There's an analogy how when they make swords, when the blacksmith back in the day used to make swords, they would put the iron into the fire and it would get red hot, and they would beat that piece of iron. What they were doing was that iron, as it turned red hot, you also saw black spots or black holes. That was where the molecules of the iron had not fused together, which indicated weaknesses. And the blacksmith would hammer those holes until they were no more. He was literally moving molecules because it was pliable enough to move that metal, that molten metal, to fill in those holes. Consequently, making that part of the sword now stronger. And what God does in our marriages, he brings us together. We become one. And in the firing process, that what is exposed oftentimes are the things that we're not strong at. And if we allow God to strengthen those places that are weak, when we get into battle, our swords don't break. And a lot of time we got swords breaking in marriage because we did not take the time to be intimate in key areas. And I think emotional intimacy is a key area that has largely gone neglected. Intimacy is seeing into each other's life. It's knowing each other's strengths and weaknesses. Intimacy is being aware of each other's hopes, fears, and dreams. Think about that. Let it marinate. I know you saw her, guys, and she was fine as wine. She had a Coke bottle shape. But did you know her? Did you know her favorite color? Did you know why it was her favorite color? Did you know what was her dream? What was her dream as a little girl? Did you know that? That's how you create emotional intimacy. That's how you create connections that hold us together when it gets hot. Amen. Many of us define intimacy in marriage as just the physical. But it's more than that. And while it is certainly a valuable part of the marriage relationship, a healthy marriage must have emotional intimacy to last. You gotta be healthy emotionally. So, what exactly is emotional intimacy? Emotional intimacy occurs when there is enough trust and communication between you and your spouse, allowing both of you to share your innermost selves. As couples, as husbands and wives, we'll take off our clothes first before we take off the mask. Whoa. Thank you for that one hand clap. But emotional intimacy is taking off the mask, taking off the caricature that you were portraying to win her or him. And let's face it, everybody wants to put your best face forward. That's not wrong. Everybody wants, you want to be the best in front of that person, because you're trying to impress, right? You're trying to impress. I mean, I bought my car from the pawn, my first car from the pawn shop. I waxed that thing.
I painted it
in the fall, and a leaf fell on my car while it was still drying. And I couldn't buff it out, but I waxed that leaf too. Put armor all on my tires and all that, because I'm trying to impress. There's nothing wrong with trying to impress, but at some point, you got to take the mask off. Or else somebody's going to say, you bait and switch. As my grandma said, you sold me a bill of goods. At some point, we have to take off the mask. We got to take off the mask. It's like you wake up and you're like, oh, who are you?
You got to,
and emotional intimacy is that process by which we take off the mask and our partners see who we really are. I say it like this: we demand a Carfax. We need to have a spouse fax, a potential spouse fax. We want to know with the Carfax, how many owners did this car have? How many accidents did they be in? Any liens on this car? We need to have some potential spouse facts. Yes. How many owners? How many people been driving? If we're that meticulous about our vehicles, we do our due diligence with our vehicles. Shouldn't we be that more meticulous with the person that's supposed to hold our heart? Now, let me balance this out. Thank you for the hand. Let me balance this out. Let me balance this out for my single people. That don't mean you bring a 10-page questionnaire on the first date. Let's see. Do you? What do you feel about? Not on the first date. What we're talking about here, you have to have clearance. And if you're at a place to where you're considering spending significant time with this person, you need to ask some hard questions. You need to ask some hard questions. And that's emotional intimacy. So we know when we've achieved emotional intimacy, when we feel absolutely accepted, respected, and admired in the eyes of our mate, even when they know our innermost struggles and failures. When they know the dirt you've done and they still love you, that's emotional intimacy.
Amen.
Yeah. When they know you're jacked up, you're tore up from the floor up, and they still want to be with you, that's emotional intimacy.
That's exactly.
Amen. Because your friends would say, well, girl, if I was you, I wouldn't do that. Well, you're not anointed to do this. But that's emotional intimacy. That's God giving you that hammer to hammer out those holes, those weak places, to go to work with your partner. See, it's like this: when I've blown it, I'm still your boo. Yeah. When my past persists to plot against our plans, but you still call me Poppy.
Poppy.
What's up there, Poppy?
Yes.
Love it when you call me Big Papa.
Oh,
when I'm still Poppy.
I still got you.
When my past comes up and threatens the plans that we make, you still see me and you still admire me. That is emotional intimacy. And we're seeing now that's not prevalent in many relationships now. The moment something come up that ain't right, deuces. It's not emotional intimacy. It's when I've seen you broken, but you're still my baby. That's emotional intimacy. And then really, biblically, that's an anointing. You're anointed for that. Emotional intimacy promotes compassion and support and consistent love for your spouse, even after knowing the things that make them ashamed. That's emotional intimacy. It promotes compassion and support. Too many marriages try to exist. You got something you want to say?
No, I was just going to say, we often give this to other people
mm-hmm.
before we'll give it to our spouse.
My Lord.
Our friends, you know, people on our job, we give them passes with this stuff. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to our spouse, like you said, deuces. We out just that quick. Hmm.
Is it because I've let you in so far and I've trusted you to this point?
That could be true.
Intimacy says, I still have compassion. I still support and my love is consistent. Because here's the thing. Marriage was not designed to bring us closer. It was designed to make us one. Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right.
That's good. Write it down. Tweet it. It wasn't designed to bring us closer. It was designed to make us one. He says, for this cause shall a man leave his mother and his father and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. If closer is all you are, wrong. One is what we should be. Amen.
What this does, this emotional intimacy, the compassion and the support, what it really describes is grace.
Grace.
And I think that's the issue that I'm saying, that we extend grace to so many others in the situations before we will extend grace to the person mm-hmm. that we are supposed to be one with.
Which takes us into, I don't want to get ahead of it. Because people say, well, they should know better. Should they? If they're still learning you? Or better yet, if you're the person who still has the mask, how am I going to learn no better if you hadn't really showed me the real you? I just know what you showed me. Teach your own Pastor Radford. Too many marriages try to exist without emotional intimacy. Eventually, a marriage lacking intimacy, emotional intimacy, will become empty and lifeless, creating distance, those holes, between the people in that relationship. Emotional intimacy is a major bond that holds relationships together, but it is difficult for many of us to experience.
And you know what happens when it's lacking is the children grow up, and they leave,
mm-hmm.
you stop working, you retire, whatever it may be, and you're left living with somebody that you don't know.
You don't know.
Because you put all your investment in carpooling and dropping off and paying the bills and doing all these things, and now that those external things are gone, I don't know you.
Who are you? Because what happens by that time, I'm tired of holding the mask. By that time, I've gained so much weight, the mask don't fit. I used to have chisel features and just 7% body fat. But now the mask don't fit. And so now you see the real me. So here's why is it hard to develop emotional intimacy? 4 suggestions. Fear of rejection. I don't want to share with you, show you who I really am. Because I'm afraid you might not like it. And you might not want to stay once you know the real me. If I share the essence of who I really am, you might criticize or reject the real me. So many of us, we won't do that because of that. That's why being honest is just right. It just works. It's easier. You know the real, they know the real, and we can function and operate from a real place. So many times they don't. This, I'm sorry, you guys.
No, I was just gonna say. So if I'm on the other side of that, if you are the one who is fearing rejection, I was thinking about, you know, a lot of times it's not about what we say, it's how we say it. Mm-hmm. And so if my goal, if you are sharing with me or you're not, and then you do, and you're worried about me being critical. If I say, why did you feel that way? What happened to you in your life that caused that to happen? Now I'm accepting and I'm trying to gain understanding back to 1 Peter. Mm-hmm. But if I say, well, why you act like that?
Now I'm feeling defensive.
My tone has changed, and so there goes that wall that you talked about earlier, because maybe I'm trying to get the answer, but the way that I approached it brings up the defense. And so now it doesn't seem like I'm trying to seek your highest good or the highest good for us as one. Mm-hmm. I'm attacking.
Mm-hmm. And in my eye, you're looking for a way out.
Some people do that. That's why you got to pay attention to how you communicate.
Yes. Number two, the second reason why we don't engage in emotional intimacy is unfamiliarity with our own feelings. Mm-hmm. Our own needs and our own wants. How can I tell you what I need, what I want, when I don't know myself? Because I'm showing you the mask. I've got used to looking at the mask. I used to hate that my middle name was Lee. It was just country. Jesse Lee Radford.
You put that Lee on there.
It just flowed like Jesse Lee. And I used to tell people my name was Lewis.
That's my dad's
name. I used to tell my name, okay, because Jesse Lewis sounded better than Jesse Lee. But you know, I knew I had an issue when I started writing Jesse Lewis on applications, because I started believing the mask. And so it's hard for me to tell you what I want or what I need if I'm functioning from a false place. I'm not sure what I feel or need. If I'm not sure what I feel or need, how can you know? So we won't communicate. So we leave it open.
And can I just say, parents, this is so important to teach to your children. I have a young man, a son, he's 16 years old. I'm working hard to teach him this so that when I ask him a question about a game, about an experience, how you feeling about it? If he says, I don't know, you feel something,
mm-hmm.
You know, so without antagonizing him, I'm trying to get him in the practice of learning how to tap into, I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
I didn't want to lose. Because if you're processing that in your mind, but you are afraid to say it, then the person that you are going to spend the rest of your life with is going to suffer through that. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to teach him now so that he won't have to be sitting across the table talking to somebody else about it later, that you got to learn how to process that. Mm-hmm. And work with me as I ask you these questions. And I don't attack. I'm just trying to help walk him through the process. And he's getting better and better and better to the point where he's a little bit more forthcoming. I don't have to ask. You know what I mean? And same thing with our girls. We got to get them in the habit of how people have gotten away from sitting around the table. You know, when I was growing up, my mom and daddy had to sit down at dinner time. It was, how was your day? What happened at school? Conversation. And you have to engage our young people in this because yeah. They texting and abbreviating and they don't know how to communicate and talk to one another. They texting us from upstairs. Can I come? You know, whatever. All of that stuff. You gotta create an environment to where discussions are happening, so that we are preparing them for marriage, for preparing them for how to deal with their employers and things like that. This is very important.
And something you said that's also key to that If you are with the person that you said God gave you, then that means that they bring to the table something beneficial for you as well. And if we aren't honest enough with them to share our feelings or communicate who we are emotionally, you rob them of opportunities. So now they've got this gift that they've been ordained to share with you. But if you don't let the wall down, take the mask down, and become emotionally intimate, that person can't fulfill their purpose in the union. Is that all right? This is good. Amen.
Which actually leads into number three, a lack of vocabulary to communicate our feelings accurately or to verbalize exactly what we want or need. So basically, if I don't know the words to describe what I'm feeling or needing, then it's easier for me to just keep my thoughts to myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why I'm saying that asking the right question without attacking will help draw those things out. And it can be vice versa. You could have a woman who will shut down because of past hurts or different things or whatever, and they might not be forthcoming to be able to share. But to be able to say, like I said, and it can be something as simple as, how did it make you feel when it happened? Hmm. When you say, how was your day? And somebody just says, it was okay. And you leave it at that. Well, then what happened today? Is different than how was your day? You got to pay attention to what is the outcome that you want from this conversation anyway.
Let me just say this right quick. Those moments are opportunities for emotional intimacy.
Intimacy, right.
Those are opportunities to intimacy. So guys, when they ask, they're not nagging. They're trying to see into you. Mm-hmm. They're trying to see into you. It's a built-in opportunity for emotional intimacy.
And it's the same as 1 Peter, even though he was talking about wives, some things are not based on gender. If I'm asking you these questions, then it's helping me to dwell with you according to knowledge. I'm dwelling with you according to what I know about you. So then when I approach you with a question or a statement, because I already know how you process things or how you feel about things, it's going to gear my words how I come at you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm dwelling according to what I know.
Yeah. And it helps your spouse to support and stand up for you the more they are emotionally intimate with you. So if something comes, oh no, that's not Al either. Now, if you've been wearing a mask, then they out there bad.
True.
That's not our meter when actually it actually is. But I'm just looking at the mask. The more you take down the mask, the more you get allies, the more you have a built-in confidant with you in your spouse. All right.
And for this, now this one is a tough one because I think it's a balance that comes with it. We expect our spouse to just know. You can read my mind, can't you? You know, so we wear the mask and we just expect them to know. And I say that this is a dangerous place in a way because we got to a place to where I did just know. Because we had spent enough time together that I began to pay attention. And Pastor, you know, when we were talking to singles before, we talked about collecting evidence. Mm-hmm. You know, that when people say things, when they show you who they really are, believe them. Okay, but you know, there
with hoping that it'll change.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I saw something this week that talked about unless he's wearing diapers, you can't change him or something like that.
Ooh.
Something like that. You saw that too. You know, it was like, so don't. Yeah. But anyway, we had been together for a good while, and this was in courtship. We had been together for a good while, and so I began to see some patterns of things. And so I messed around and I said, because I know you. And when I tell you this dude cut the fool on me, he with the turning like Jesus, turning over tables and, you know, I'm the money changers or something. I don't know what was going on, but he blew up.
It's, you know, okay, it scared me that she had seen under the mask. I didn't know at the time I was wearing a mask. But the games I was playing, you know the games we play, God, that's from the mask. I don't want her to know, keep her at arm's length. Don't want to think I'm just all into her.
Mystery. You know. I don't know what it was.
And she saw underneath the mask. And it scared the bejesus out of me. And then my first thing was just, you don't know me. And she like, I'm looking at you right here. I see everything right here. But it scared me. Now, I was in my mind, I had already said, you know, this is somebody I want to share myself with. But it came quicker than I was ready for. You know, and I'm, you don't know me. I did. You step back, you was like, what?
I thought I did.
Because I walk around, because I was like, I felt cornered. I felt like, I got to get out of this. How do you?
She'd have tapped it.
She'd have broke the code. She'd have broke the code. Quick. Quick. Evacuate.
Yeah, Jesus,
evacuate.
Man.
Code 3. Code 3. I'm like, dude.
You know me. I was like, I'm in now.
But she did. She saw underneath the mask. You know, and we can't, unless we are emotionally intimate, we can't just expect them to know. Because they're only going to go on the last information you gave them.
That's true.
Amen. So we're not going to get to go into all of these right now. We're going to give you just a few. So no matter how long you've been married, no matter how long we've been married, emotional intimacy is a place. It's a place, not a destination. It's a place where we all need to be strengthened and grow. So we're gonna give you 7 steps to help get there. We're gonna start there. We may do two or three, but we'll start. So the first one is pay attention to your own emotions. Pay attention to your own emotions. You know you. To thine own self, be true. When asked how we feel, we usually answer, I'm good, I'm all right. It's either happy or angry. But there are dozens of emotions in between there. Dozens of emotions. And become familiar with the emotions, with emotions by reading your own signals. You know, I mean, don't just settle with, all right, well, you know, all right, I'm more than all right. What is it? Pay attention to your own emotions. Pay attention to the things that have transpired to get you to the place where you are right now. Because as husbands and wives, we should want to be the best for them. That's what agape is. It's love that seeks your highest good. And to seek your highest good means I want to give you my best. I won't always give you my best, but I should want to give you my best. And in order to do that, I have to pay attention to my own emotions. So it sounds like this. If I come in and if I had a terrible day, I mean just let them know. Hey, how you doing? You know what? I had a hard day today. This, you know, and before they offer information, in your mind they sound like they're picking. I had a hard day today, because the more information you give me, the more I know how to deal with the issue. I had a hard day today. Car had a flat tire in the parking lot, and coworker tried to act crazy on me, almost lost my job. Now your spouse understands, okay, I see why you come in like this. So that then I can readjust what I was expecting to ask of you before. But if you don't tell me, if you don't pay attention to your own emotions, then I'm going to think you okay to do X, Y, Z and the third. Be honest. Now, balance that out. You ain't got to be that way for 24 days. But be honest. Pay attention to your own emotions.
And see, then I know how to adjust.
Yes.
Because then I don't say, can you run Jordan up to the gym? Can you do this? Can you do that? I take that on, and I just say, I'll just take care of it because he's already told me. Or when I come in, and I'll say, I'm going to be all right. I was in my feelings today. I'll be all right. But then he doesn't bother me. You know, he let me unwind, get yourself together. It's okay. I got this. I'll pick dinner up. Don't worry about trying to cook something. I'll run the kids up here and get something or whatever. But like you said earlier, strengthen and grow to this, because I'm telling you, this ain't stuff that happens automatically.
Oh, no.
That's why I'm saying if we really told the truth when we came in here, it would have been mud and all kind of stuff on these clothes, because it does take work. You have to, I mean, because your first inclination is to get in your feelings.
Yeah.
With anything. You know, because Lord knows I can clap back. I can.
She cut you with you up with a razor blade.
Thank God for grace. Oh, that communion table, that was for me. Lord, I know. You know, but I'm not saying it is easy. But you have to become conscious to make a concerted effort to do these things. With how you talk to each other, with how you deal with each other, it's work. It is work.
I'm going to do this one.
All right. So this one is a really big one for me.
We'll stop here.
Yeah, this is a big one for me because it's something that I remember some of you who went to a women's advance with us before talking about evaluate your past. Remember when we were dealing with childhood issues and things like that. Looking back on your childhood and consider the emotional connectedness of the family you grew up in. Mm-hmm. Was it okay to express feelings in your home? Did your family really know one another, or were they simply operating as roommates living under one roof? That's important, because if you don't know that and you haven't dealt with that, when you move in with Boo, and then you've got the dynamics of kids and all this other stuff going on, all hell is prone to break loose. And while my husband came from a wonderful family, and I am so close to my in-laws, Lord Jesus, I am, my environment was different. I say my parents were old. They were older when they had me. My parents were 40 years old when I was born. His parents were in their 20s when he was born. I grew up as an only child. My brother and my sister are from my mother's first marriage, so they did not live with us. I sat at home watching Andy Griffith and Perry Mason,
Gunsmoke,
you know. I went to their house. It was WWF. It was, you know, they standing on the top rope, you know, because it was him and his two siblings and all these other children from the community that lived with them off and on and everything. It was chaos. Loving chaos. They loved it, you know. But I wasn't used to that environment. It was quiet on my front, you know. So I really didn't have to deal with, you know, an antagonizing sister or brother. My brother and sister were 12 and 13 years older than me. They thought I was their child, you know, and they treated me that way. Whereas they fought and they played and they just, you know, it was just so much, you know, going on. But I will say that my parents were very in tune to who I was. And so I was taught from an early age, we sit around a table and we ask each other, how are you? My mother had mental illness. My father dealt with that even though he didn't have a counseling degree. He knew how to dwell with my mother according to knowledge. I witnessed it on a daily basis. And I tell people all the time that I saw for better or for worse in my parents because of that, what they had to deal with. I brought that to the table. And so when I sat down with him and we had our intense fellowships, I'm analyzing. I'm like, there's something psychological going on with this right here. You know, no, I'm just playing. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm saying, you know, I'm trying to draw out, you know, tell me what's going on, why you feel this way, what I do.
And that was like overload for me.
Right.
Because there were so many people in our family that I could just, you know, you could stay in your room and not be, and there wouldn't nobody miss you. You could just sit in the room, just listen to Kegs 107, and wouldn't nobody ever miss you. Dinner time was crazy. You know, all those miles, because we did. I had one biological brother, one biological sister, and six adopted brothers. And it's not legal adoption. They just from the community came, and they stayed. Literally. I mean, there were some people who had one of their parents had died from drugs or was in jail and that kind of thing. And it just came, and when we got our draws mixed up, then we was brothers, basically.
But you know, these things are important. If you're 50, 60 years old, and then you start thinking back to how did I grow up?
Yeah.
What were the patterns in front of me? What was modeled in front of me? You best believe that's a part of you. Now, whether you accepted it or rejected it or whatever, it doesn't really matter. You were exposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
And because you were, sometimes the inclination is for me to lean towards, if my father was not a communicator, then, you know, that's just how it was in my house. Or if I came from an environment where everybody yelled at each other to get their attention, then maybe I'm just loud and boisterous like that because that's the environment that I came out of. I don't mean any harm. I'm not mad. I'm not angry with you. I'm not tearing you down. I just talk loud.
Again, but if we don't pull that mask back and share that with our spouse, then our spouse is looking at us like an alien, like, what is wrong with you? You didn't act like this when we were courting.
Right. Because the conditions when we were courting, maybe we didn't live together.
Yeah.
Maybe the pressures of life had not happened to us yet. And so those triggers had not reared their head until we got into the place where we're dwelling
as one. There
is
always a default system.
True.
And it's typically what we came up in. And when stress and pressure comes, we usually go back to that default. What we know. And if your spouse is not aware of the parameters of that default, it's gonna be shocking. It's gonna be a culture shock.
Jesus.
So we have to develop that emotional intimacy. We got to have to ask conversations. How was it growing up for you?
And see, some people think that's not spiritual, but it is.
Yes.
This is very practical, but it is spiritual, because if you don't deal with that little girl stuff, if you don't deal with the little boy stuff, when you become a woman or a man, oh my God, it will come up.
It's not just coincidence. You hear some women say, you know, they have two children, but they consider their husband a third child. That's not coincidental. Because that man hadn't taken off that mask, and we still see that little boy.
And if you grew up in a house where you had a father who taught you to be independent, to change your own tire, to take care of your own self and do these things and be self-sufficient, you know, because maybe you lived on your own for a while or whatever, then when you come together with somebody who's trying to do, you know, what they want to, maybe in the love languages, you know, through service or whatever, you reject it, you know, I'm all right by myself, you know, whatever, you put up walls. Well, so at some point, he needs to understand, you know, this, my dad taught me how to do this. Okay, well, then let's balance. Then you fix the lights, girl. You know, you have it. Because we had an opportunity like that.
Yeah.
We told it before where I had to, you know, I wired our telephone lines because we were waiting on somebody to come do it. They wouldn't do it. And I said, well, you know, my dad, he was a Mr. Fix-It Everything.
I'm not messing with no electricity.
And so he said, have at it, girl, but don't get electrocuted, you know.
Yeah. Because what was behind my mask was I played with electricity. And got blew across the room. Literally. Thank God for his keeping grace. I did some crazy stuff. I was messing with, I'm not going to say it because I don't want to give the kids no ideas. I didn't mess with electricity.
But see, but if I didn't know that, you know, this old school, then I'd be like, oh, you a punk. You ain't no man.
See what happened? You see?
You ain't no man. You know, he don't do nothing at home. You know, whatever.
That's a real issue.
Because we'll go to our girlfriends and say that's mess. Mark said, yes, you will.
Sometimes it come out right there in the moment. But again, that's because she's operating on limited information. Y'all getting some out of this?
Right. That's true.
At the core of this, and we're gonna start. At the core of this is vulnerability. You're gonna hear this again.
Oh, wow.
You gotta be vulnerable. Listen, I say this when we do our counseling. If you trust this woman or your spouse to see you at your worst, she washed your dirty. I tell this to the men. She washed your dirty drawers. She see all of that. This person needs to be the most intimate person in your life. This person needs to be the keeper of your secrets.
That's the truth.
Your spouse.
Right.
I mean, who else you gonna be closer to? And that's a vulnerability. That's a vulnerable place. But if both of you make that decision, we're going to be vulnerable with each other. Then you're going to begin to see that emotional intimacy grow and develop. You got to be vulnerable. I mean, why are you holding up a guard against somebody you said God gave you?
We're on the same team.
And I'm playing defense against you.
We're on the same team.
And I know it's scary. It's scary. And the devil has done a good job of messing us up early.
Yes, especially when we've been burned before. Exactly.
He's done a good job of messing us up early. And so now when we are with that one whom my soul loveth, whom the one that God has given me, I subconsciously treat you like you're going to do this to me too. But that's what makes love, real love, so awesome, is that it's scary, but it's wonderful at the same time.
And it's why we have to have God in the center of it. Because if I'm having trust issues, and if I give my heart to God, and you give your heart to God, he's the one that makes them one.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I don't have to worry about giving it to you if I'm afraid that you're going to mishandle it or whatever. If I give it to God, mm-hmm. God's going to make sure that it's kept right.
Ah.
And he's going to take yours and make sure that it's kept right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that deals with the mistrust. That deals with the issues of being vulnerable. I can be vulnerable with God, and I can say, God, you know I've been hurt before.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give you my heart so you can protect me from whatever else might come at me, and you do the same. We can't help but succeed.
Girl, I felt that in my shine.
I know, babe. What?
I felt that in my shine.
Amen.
So we're going to pray. We're going to pray. I want to pray for those who may have been burned before.
Amen.
And the mask has been fused. Mm-hmm. I want to pray that God give them the grace to begin to just share. Not with your coworker, not with your suite mate or your office mate, but with your husband, with your spouse, with your wife, that you dwell together in knowledge. You dwell together with them according to knowledge. And I like for you to pray for, among what God gives you, but Pray for just the restoration.
Amen.
Pray for restoration. Father God, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you that when you created marriage, that it was designed not to just bring us together, but to make us one. Thank you that the love of the husband was to reflect your love for the church. That the respect of the wife was to reflect the respect that the church has for you. Father, I pray right now specifically for those who've been hurt by past issues, past traumas, those who were taken advantage of, those who gave their heart to the wrong person. And because of that, they have permanently affixed a mask to their face. And the relationship that you did give them has not seen who they really are. Father, I pray for the strength. I pray for the bravery. To not only, to first of all be healed from the hurt, truly healed. And to demonstrate that healing by beginning to take off the mask. I pray that as they do this, God, they will immediately begin to see a change in their union. I pray for the reception, the receptive heart of their spouse to receive what they reveal in the name of Jesus. I pray your word, God, that they be naked and not ashamed. Cover them with your grace. In Jesus' name.
Yes, and dear God, we just thank you right now for dealing with the heart of every person that has been hurt, God, and bringing restoration into their lives. We thank you right now, Father, that we can confess our sins to you, for you are faithful and just. To forgive us, God, from all unrighteousness, to cleanse us, God, from all unrighteousness. And so for those that have been harboring bitterness, God, and guilt and just anger, Father, we release that to you today. Amen. In Jesus' name. For those that thought that they were over a thing, God, but not they really were not. We thank you right now, God, for restoring unto them the joy of thy salvation. Amen. In Jesus' name. That as we focus our attention on you and what you are able to do in, yes, our lives,
yes,
that it will bring restoration and joy into our relationships in,
yes,
Jesus' name.
Yes.
That when we release these things to you, Lord God, because you are our creator, you are the one who knows our innermost being, we thank you right now, Father, for wholeness and deliverance among your people in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
We thank you, Father, for using these relationships in the earth as a witness to those who are hurting, oh God, who want to see the real deal in operation in Jesus' name. We thank you right now for using kingdom marriage today, God, in a mighty way in Jesus' name. And so we thank you right now, God, for those who have pondered on throwing in the towel. We ask right now, Father, that you would speak to their hearts even today.
Right now.
In the name of Jesus, whether they're in this room, Lord God, whether they were watching by social media, whether it be people in our own families that we need to share this word with, help them to not give up, oh God, to not throw in the towel, to not think that it's over, Lord, because you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think according to the power that is working in us. Save marriages today, God, for your glory. In the name of Jesus, allow your people to live as one in Jesus' name, the way that you intended them to do. And we just give your name the praise and the glory that you are propelling us, oh God, into a new place, into a new season where the Spirit of God will be lifted up and others will be able to see you in a new and a living way as these marriages are a reflection of you in the earth. In the name of Jesus, we love you, God. We bless you. And most of all, we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, God.
Were you blessed by that today? Amen. To our single people, y'all got some master level stuff right now. Goodness, I wish I had gotten this when I was single. This is how you start off right.